So let me start off with a little poll question here this morning. How many people have been on summer holidays that you've left town for this summer? Yeah? Okay. Awesome. Now let me ask you this. What is on your summer road trip playlist? What do you guys listen to when you're driving on these long road trips? What do you guys like to have going on? Yeah, Gordon, what do you listen to?
Country.
Country music. Yeah, okay, awesome. Who else? Sorry, I just, you know, stir the pot here. Who else? What do you guys listen to when you drive? What do you like to listen to?
Nothing.
Nothing. Just listen to the sound of the road, right? Yeah, okay, awesome. Who else?
Movie soundtracks.
Nice. Sorry, what's that? Enlightened Gospel Channel. Cool. Is that on like Sirius or is it one of those ones? Okay. Nice. I actually had someone asking me yesterday, what's a good Sirius Christian radio station? I had no idea because I don't have Sirius, but okay, I'll remember that one. The Message. Also on Sirius. Okay. There we go. I'm not going to repeat that because I'll get it wrong, but that sounds cool. Stories, right? Yeah. That's awesome. The Beatles. Nice. Yeah, when we were talking about this last night, someone said 80s, and another person said 60s. We were going by the decade, right? All the different genres of music. You know, when I'm driving, I like to listen to something that's a little more upbeat. Like, I like a little bit of rock or things like that just to kind of keep me sharp so I don't get dozy when I'm driving. But I also love to listen to stories because it just keeps me more alert. Just if I can get wrapped up in a story as opposed to just music, I don't know, it makes the miles go faster. So whether it's, you know, the radio theater stories that we listen to on our iPod or whether it's, you know, the boys putting on a movie and just kind of listening to the dialogue, because I've seen all the movies they watch, right? So it's just, you know the story and you can visualize it and hopefully don't watch the movie on the DVD player as you're driving, right? But just to help the miles go by faster. Now today, we're going to be talking about a journeying song. And we've been talking this month of August about some of the different songs in the Bible. And the Bible actually has recorded 150 songs in the book of Psalms. And these were all different songs that the people of God would sing as a part of their worship of God. And there's all sorts of different psalms. There's all kinds of different types of psalms. Psalms of, you know, where everything's falling apart and life is horrible and God, where are you? Right to the psalms of God is so good to be in your presence. Like, you know, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 days elsewhere. Right? And so we have all these different kinds of psalms. And the kind of psalm that we're looking at today is a very specific kind. It's a psalm of ascent, which were songs that the people of God would sing as they were traveling up to Jerusalem, making a pilgrimage back to Jerusalem to worship God at the temple. And so it's a song that God's people would have sung, preparing to come and worship God. And so that's the song that we're going to be looking at today. So that's why, you know, what kind of songs do we listen to when we go on a journey is just a great question to ask. Now, before we get to the psalm, though, let me ask you this. Have you ever done a pilgrimage, maybe to the place where, you know, your parents or your grandparents or your ancestors were born? Have you ever gone back to those kind of places and discovered a little bit about your history, where you come from? I remember a number of years ago, I almost said a few years, but it actually is more like about 12 years ago or 13 years ago, we were living in Regina, and we went up to visit my grandparents who were still alive at the time. They were living in Saskatoon. And my grandfather was one of those guys, is my dad's dad. He loved to know about family connections. And so just to give you an example, whenever he would show up in whatever town we were living in, he'd go to the phone book and look up all the Dredgers in the phone book and start phoning them to see if they were related somehow, okay? Because he just wanted to know about family connections and, you know, whose dad, whose grandfather was, you know, whatever, figure out if there was a connection. And so my grandfather took us on this little road trip just north of Saskatoon, up kind of northeast, up to the town of Rostern, where my dad had been raised and his whole family, and kind of around that area. We stopped in Hague, and they have this little museum there where they have these license plates from back in like the 1800s all the way up to today, and all this old farm equipment and all these different things, right? So he took us on this tour of where they had been when my dad was growing up. And it was a pretty cool thing just to have that connection back to my roots, that connection to that part of me that maybe I don't experience every day. And I think pilgrimages can often do that for us. And for Israel, when you think about singing these songs of ascent as they're making a pilgrimage to Jerusalem, it was a part of getting in touch with that piece of their story that maybe wasn't obvious all the time, but it was something that they wanted to make sure they were connected with, which is the big God story and the things that God had done in his people. And so taking time on a pilgrimage can help us sometimes reconnect or recalibrate our heart, our mind, around a part of ourselves that maybe we don't often pay attention to. And so Psalm 121 is one of those psalms of ascent, a psalm that they would have sung on their way to kind of have this recalibration of their heart, to reflect on who God is, what he's done, and just be able to come into his presence to give him thanks for who he is. And so we're going to read that psalm in just a moment, but let's just pray and ask God to speak to us today through his word, that we get to hear from his heart today for us. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you take us on all kinds of journeys in life. Journeys of discovery of who we are and who you are. Journeys of reflection as we look back on the past and where we've come from. We pray, Lord, that as we journey into your word today, that you would meet us there and speak to us from your heart about who you are and what you long for us. I just pray, Lord, that you would open us up to receive whatever it is you have for us today, Lord, that we'd have open eyes to see what we need to see in the text and open ears to hear your Spirit speaking to us. Lord, open minds to understand and hearts that are just so willing to respond to you. Lord, we just look forward to meeting you this morning and pray that we hear your words and not mine. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, the last couple weeks we've taken on some really big psalms, and so we've broken them into chunks as we've read through. But today it's a fairly short psalm, so we're going to read it all at once. If you have your Bibles, you can turn in them to Psalm 121, and we'll also have it on the screen here for you to follow along as well. Let's read it together. Psalm 121, a song of ascents. I lift my eyes up to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Some great words in there, isn't there? It's one of those psalms that, to me, just brings hope about who God is and what he's doing for us. There's a couple kind of key themes I want to just pick up on this morning as we look at this psalm. You know, a number of years ago, this is going back even further than my last a few years ago, back when I was a teenager, I won't tell you how many years ago that was, but early teens, I had the opportunity with our youth group to go on a hike up Mount Robson. And we hiked up to Berg Lake, if you've done the hike before. It's 23 kilometers up, about 800 meters of vertical ascent over those 23 kilometers. We did it up in 2 days and 1 day coming back down the mountain. But as you're hiking Robson, if you've ever done this before, it's an incredible experience of just being in awe of the mountain, right? And in awe of the nature that's surrounding you as you're walking up this incredible peak. Of course, we didn't get to the peak. We got to see the peak. That actually wasn't the day that we were there. I just took that one off the internet. But the day we were there, the couple days we were up at Robson, it was that kind of clear sky. It was just absolutely spectacular because a lot of days you drive through the mountains there and it's all just clouded over, right? You can see some of the mountain, but the peak is clouded over. We had like 3 straight days where it was perfectly clear. And it was so majestic just to see the beauty of that mountain. It's one of those moments that just kind of gets you to look up, right? It catches you with the awe and the wonder and the majesty of what you're seeing. You just go, wow, this is incredible. And what I wonder is, you know, as we read these words, I lift my eyes up. What are the things that cause you to look up? And not just to go, wow, look, I'm looking up. But to look up and consider the wonder of God who made all this stuff that we see. What are those moments, what are those spaces, those times that you just find yourself looking up and considering the wonder of God? This summer, we had the opportunity to go to Barkerville. And my parents were up visiting just a couple weeks ago on the long weekend. with my sister. And it was great to have them up. And on the Monday, we all traveled down to Barkerville. They stayed there Monday night and then traveled home on Tuesday. But we hadn't been to Barkerville in a number of years. And our middle son, Zach, still though remembered and really wanted to go. The first place he wanted to go was the church in Barkerville. Because it's this old, you know, it was the Anglican church. There's two churches, right? There's a nice Presbyterian church and an Anglican church side by side. but he wanted to go to the Anglican church, and he just remembered it and how cool it was. So we went there. It was the first place we went. It's also right near the beginning of Barkerville. And we went in, and there was actually the rector was there to meet us, and he was talking to us about the church. And it turned out he actually went to school at Ambrose, which was kind of cool. I thought that was neat. But he was telling us all about this church and talking about how they built it, right? And it's built in the Gothic style. Now, when you think Gothic style, you might think like European Gothic style or Eastern, you know, Canadian or U.S. seaboard Gothic style, which is much more ornate and stone and everything. The one in Barkerville, not quite like that. All wooden, of course, but it was built really tall, right? And Gothic style, typically they were built in the shape of a cross, right? The blueprint of it. But they're also built very tall. And he talked about how it was built with this kind of height to try and get you to look up towards heaven. As you come into this building, the building itself was supposed to provide an experience where you would look up and catch the wonder and majesty of God. And we haven't built our building exactly like that. But what are the spaces where we do have that cause us to look up? Where are those places that make us look up? A couple of years ago, in 2010, we were at one of those kind of Gothic church kind of places in Germany. We were at a monastery where Martin Luther had felt the call of God in his life and basically surrendered his life to serve God. And we were in this monastery where apparently he had fallen face down on the floor and all this, but We were standing there, and our little group of, you know, pastors and their spouses were all kind of hanging out with the missionaries who were showing us around. And it was just us in there. And we just broke out into song. And we just started singing the doxology. You know, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. And it was one of those moments. It was totally spontaneous, and we had all the parts of harmony. And it was just echoing in the walls. It was one of those moments where my eyes were lifted up. And you could say it was one of those holy spaces where you feel and just are enveloped by the presence of God and just caught by the wonder of who he is. What are the places that cause you to look up? Is it a place out in nature where you go out for a walk and you're just caught by the beauty of the sunset? Francis Chan in his book Crazy Love talks about that, just seeing the wonder of God out when we're out in creation and spending time dwelling in that. Is it when you have an opportunity to hear from someone else just sharing a story of what God has done in their life, that you're just caught by the majesty and wonder of God going, wow, God is working right now. He cares enough about that little detail in that person's life. This is amazing. What are the things that cause you to lift your eyes up, to look for God in the everyday stuff of life? You know, choosing to back up from life sometimes and look up helps us to remember that we have an incredible help in the Lord. That he is, in fact, a great source of hope for us in the midst of everyday life. And that's where the psalmist goes. He says, you know, I lift my eyes up to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. What a great source of help. The Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, the one who had the power to create out of nothing everything. Have you ever tried that? Just to take nothing and make something? It's very difficult. To take something else and create something out of it is a little easier, but God took nothing and made it into something. He is the one who made everything that we can see. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Do you think he's not strong enough to help you in what you're going through? He was only able to make everything and sustain it, give life to it day by day, hour by hour, moment by moment. He's probably got enough to help you out. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. You know, there's another great picture that follows immediately after this, and we could spend probably a lot more time on the idea of just my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, but I love the picture that comes right after it, starting in verse 3 and kind of carrying on the rest of the psalm. And that's the picture of the Lord who watches over us. It's like this picture of a watchman. And we don't have watchmen in our city anymore because we don't have city walls. I don't know where you'd put them around Prince George. That'd be a really big space. But they used to have watchmen who would stand on the walls of the city to keep an eye out for enemies coming or messages being sent or all these kinds of things, right? They stood sentry. They stood at that post to make sure that if anything was going to happen, the whole city would be alerted that it was going to happen. But one of the problems for a watchman, and I think this is true of any watchman, is that it's really, really easy to lose focus, right? I don't know about you, but I wouldn't do well with the night shift, right? Like the overnight shift. And some of you guys probably do shift. I know some of you guys do shift work. I don't know how you do shift work because I don't know how you actually make it through all the time and stay alert. But if you're actually doing a job and you're kind of active and doing things, that's one thing. Can you imagine standing at a post through the whole night? That's tough enough during the day. It's tough to stand post and not doze off. In fact, back when I was 16, I was a new driver, and it was back in the days when getting a driver's license was a whole lot easier. You know, you got to write your learner's test, and then you had your learners for 30 days, and then you got to get your license. You go for your driving test, and you get a license. And they just say, go for it. Well, not quite like that, but pretty close. Anyways, I was a new driver, and a couple friends and I, for whatever reason, I don't even know why we did it, but we decided to stay up all night. And it was just one of those things you do, right, when you're a teenager, you think, hey, this would be fun. And it was fun. We stayed up all night. The next morning, I was driving home, and I was a little tired because I had been up all night because of some crazy idea. And it was in Victoria, so I don't know if you know Victoria at all. If you do, this will make sense. If not, don't worry about it. I was driving down Cedar Hill Road from towards Mackenzie, driving down towards Cedar Hill Crossroad, and driving home. And driving along the road, you kind of come up to this one part, and just before you get to the light at Cedar Hill Crossroad, the road kind of goes like this, and then it turns back towards the light. Anyways, I'm going up the road, and I'm turning this way, and I fall asleep. And I woke up the moment the corner of my bumper hit the corner of the bumper in the car in front of me, which was a beautiful, like, I think mid-50s kind of car with a beautiful chrome bumper on it. And anyways, I totally dented the corner of his bumper. But that woke me up, and then I went across the road and ended up in the driveway of a house across the road. Now, fortunately for me, it was a red light at Cedar Hill Crossroads, so there was no oncoming traffic that would have head-oned me as I was coming across. And also, fortunately for me, it was a very gracious person in the car in front of me that just asked for a couple $100 to help fix the bumper, and we didn't have to go through ICBC or anything like that. But it's very hard to stay alert through the whole night. It's hard to be able to stay awake and alert through those kind of situations. And when you think about a watchman, they're standing post for the whole time. That's got to get tough. But what's cool about this image of God as our watchman is God is a watchman who will never slumber or sleep. He doesn't snooze. He doesn't lose focus. He doesn't drop off into sleep because he's getting bored. And I got to tell you, looking at our human lives sometimes, I can imagine it get pretty boring. My life gets a little boring sometimes. But God doesn't lose focus. He doesn't check out. He doesn't, kind of go off and do something else. He's right there paying attention, keeping watch over me. He doesn't slumber or sleep. It's kind of cool, actually. We see this in contrast to other gods in Scripture. And there's this one story that I love. It's a story that comes a little bit after this historically, but Elijah, one of the prophets of God, is told to go challenge Ahab. Ahab was a wicked king. He was doing all sorts of terrible stuff. And so Elijah goes and says, here's the deal. Go get all of your prophets, all the prophets of these other gods, the gods of Baal, and bring these prophets up on Mount Carmel, and we're going to have a little contest. And they're going to call out to their gods, and I'm going to call out to my God, and the one who shows himself by fire is the real living God. And so Ahab and all the prophets are thinking, hey, this is a great idea. So all their prophets get up there and they build this altar and they put the bull on top of it. And, And all day long, they're calling out to their gods. And they're calling out, and they're cutting themselves, and they're dancing, and they're getting louder, and yelling, and all this stuff. And one of the greatest moments, and I love this about Scripture, because, you know, some people think Scripture is all pure and holy and, you know, very pious, and everyone's all gentle and kind. Elijah taunts them. I love that. He's just like, hey, maybe you guys should yell louder. You know, maybe you're not loud enough. You know, and he's totally like just turning the screws to these guys, just bugging them. And he's like, maybe your God is sleeping. Or he's gone off to do something else. Maybe that's why he can't hear you. But see, our God isn't like that. Our God is one who watches over us and never slumbers or sleeps. He doesn't lose focus. He's always watching. And so when Elijah comes to his turn, you know, he gets them to pour water over his sacrifice. It's all doused, just soaked in water. And he says a simple prayer, and God sends fire from heaven like that. And it consumes the sacrifice and the altar, the whole deal. Our God doesn't slumber or sleep. He doesn't lose focus. He is one who is always watching over us. He is always attentive to whatever we're doing. He's the best security or help you could ever hope to want. There's all kinds of things we trust in for our security. We trust in locks. We trust in alarms. We trust in all kinds of things. And all of those things at some point are going to fail. Or someone will figure out how to circumvent them. Any lock designed in a car can be broken into by a thief who knows how to disarm it. I've gotten several calls, in the middle of the night from the alarm at the church going off, and I show up here, and it's just me and the security guy. There was one time it wasn't. Megan was there too. That was exciting. But most times, she didn't break in, just to clarify that. Most times, it's just a false alarm. Because the stuff we place in our lives for security always has a way of failing. But God isn't like that. He is one who always watches over us in every circumstance, never loses focus, never loses track of us. He is someone we can trust. And as you read through this psalm, it's cool because we see that God watches over us in every circumstance of life. It's not just when we're being good. It's not just when we're showing up and being religious. He's watching over us in everything we do, whether in day or night. He protects us from the rays of the sun. He protects us from the rays of the moon. Anyone else think that was funny? He protects us from the moon when you were reading that? Anyways, we're not going to talk about that today, but there is, you know, some stuff about that. But the basic point there is that God is always watching out for you. No matter what, no matter what season of life you're going through, no matter what you're experiencing, God is watching over you. In all things. All. Not some. Not just the good things. Not just the bad things. In all things, God works for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And that doesn't mean that we don't go through some difficult things in life. Doesn't mean we don't hit seasons of trouble. But in the midst of all of those, God is walking with us and watching over us to help keep our foot from slipping. He is the best help we could ever find. Our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, who always watches over us no matter what we're going through. So what do we do? Well, I just want to encourage you with something this morning. As the summer kind of starts to wind down, and I know I shouldn't be saying that, but it's getting close, let's be honest. September's around the corner, it's coming. But as summer winds down, what I want to encourage you to do, just as you're getting back into the regular routines of life and stuff starting to happen again that always happens beginning in September, may I encourage you to find some space to look up. Go find some space that causes you to look up and to be blown away again by the wonder of the God who is our help. You know, I want to say, do this intentionally. Sometimes we equate spirituality with being spontaneous. It should be something that just happens. No, that's just not true. It can be wonderful when it just happens, but it can also come, moments of encountering God can come at times that we definitely plan it out and set time aside to be with him. And so I just want to encourage you today to make a point of having a pilgrimage of sorts, I guess, going out to find space where you can look up and be caught up again with the wonder of our incredible God who is our great help. And as you're looking up and just considering who he is, maybe take time to talk with him about the journey that you're on right now, the stuff that you're walking through right now, and ask him to be your help in those things, to keep your foot from slipping in the journey that you're walking. Whether you're going through health challenges right now or family issues or financial crisis or learning about yourself or you're off on a new adventure or you're moving somewhere or you're doing something crazy or you're wanting to make a greater investment in the kingdom of God or you just, whatever it is, just ask that he would be your help. Because he is the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, the one with power over all things and the one who watches over you and who loves you deeply. So let me just encourage you today to plan to look up and seek God in whatever you're going through and just see what he will do for you. Because our God is a faithful God who loves us so much. And I just pray that you'd see amazing things as you call out to him for help. Let me pray for you this morning before we respond with some worship music and things like that. And just trust the stuff that we're going through to the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, as we lift our eyes up to you, may we see you as you are. The maker of heaven and earth, the one who holds all things in his hands. Lord, we pray that in the moments and the journeys of life that we're going through, that we would see your incredible help for us and the stuff we're struggling with and the stuff we're walking through. Lord, may we just get a sense of your incredible love and grace for us in all those things. Lord, as we set aside that time to meet you, we just pray that we would, that you would show yourself to us in incredible ways. Lord, that we would know that you are the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, who is our help. We just look forward to how we'll meet with you this coming week. And Lord, we just thank you that you love us enough to meet with us. In Jesus' name, amen.